Welkom bij de leiderschapspodcast van City Life Church. Dit is Leadership Talks.
Hallo iedereen, welkom everyone to Leadership Talks, the next episode. And as you know, every fourth Wednesday of the month we have a new episode. And I try to interview a leader about leadership, leadership style, wisdom and things like that. Now this is recorded at our City Life Leaders Conference. So I have a very special guest with me today, Pastor Antonio Weil. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're from Germany. Where are you from?
So actually, like, I was born and raised in Berlin.
Berlin.
But now I'm leading a church in the area of Frankfurt, Wiesbaden, Gießen, yes.
You have three locations now.
We have three locations,
and,
yes.
Is it going well?
Yes.
Kind of.
No, it is.
It's good. Yeah.
You know it is, like, as a pastor to say.
We're going to talk a little bit on leadership. And you've been a youth leader for many years, and now you did the transition to being a pastor. You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. So we want to hear a little bit who you are, and I start always with this one. You can respond to this. This is John Maxwell, as far as I know. Leadership is the problem, and leadership is the answer. Can you give a few thoughts on this opening?
It's a pretty tough one. Yeah, I would say, like, leadership totally can be a problem. I mean, like, it has so much to do, in my opinion, like, with your environment, where you're living, also with your context, with society, you know? So I would say, like, for me, as a German, you know, being in Germany, leadership totally can be a problem because of the history, you know, and people are afraid of leadership or strong leadership, you know. Mm-hmm. On the other side, you know, I totally believe that it's a heavenly thing which God, like, gave us, so that leaders can give vision, inspiration and everything. But I would say, like, everything comes out, like, of a pure heart, or has to come out of a pure heart and a pure character. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if I'm allowed to share an example, to picture it. So my senior pastor, he showed me what it means to be, like, a really good leader. So he's still my pastor. Even if he transitioned to me, he's still my pastor. So, and I remember when I was a youth pastor, I did a lot of stupid things, and I did a lot of, like, I would say, like, also stupid decisions. But I remember specifically one thing where I would say, like, I didn't had a moral failure or something like that, but I wasted money, you know, and because I did a really bad decision. So, and that's always the thing. As a leader, I can come up and be like, you know what, I'm blaming this guy and I'm blaming this guy, and it's their fault, to play the blame game. Or I'm standing up as a leader and I'm like, you know what, it's my fault. So, and that's what I did. And this, because I, in my opinion, that's what we have to do as leaders. Also, when things are working, like, really well, we are not getting the cheering, we are giving it to our volunteers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does it make sense? Yeah. So, I was like, man, it was my decision. I did a stupid thing. So, and I went up to him, and I was like, you know what, Pastor Andreas, I'm really sorry that I did this stupid decision, and I would totally understand if you would kick me out. And I really meant it like that. And he said something, like, I will never forget it. He was like, kicking you out? You know what? I invested so much money in your training till now, so I won't kick you out, you know? Mm. So, and that, like, helped me a lot, like, to understand what it means, like, to be under good leadership, and also, like, to learn how I have to lead people around me.
Yeah. Yes. Very good. Yeah. I know you now a little bit. You talk very highly about Pastor Andreas. He handed over the church in your hands.
Yeah.
What, in the time that he was coaching you, I know it's a big question, but why were you so happy with his coaching? What was his strength? What helped you the most? Yes. And you were still a youth leader, right?
Yeah.
So in other words, how can a pastor coach a youth leader well? Yeah. Because you had a good example.
Yeah. I would say till today, I'm I would put it like that. I'm a product of really good leadership because of Pastor Andrew and also because of my executive pastor, Jesus' brother, Thomas, because they showed me how to lead without control. So it doesn't mean that they didn't checked on me or checked on what I'm doing, but they didn't put pressure on me, so they let me do stupid decisions, but they were still standing to me, you know, they didn't push me in the pit, but they encouraged me get out of the pit when I did something stupid or something like that, you know. And I had so many crazy ideas, and I remember when I went up to the offices and I was like, yeah, I'm so excited for that, and we should do that, and we should do that. They wouldn't be like, yeah, that's a stupid idea. They would be more like that. Did you also think about that and that and that? And that was a point where I was like, oh no, I didn't think about that at all. I should go home and make my homework, you know? And I would say that's how they led me to be a leader, where I would say, man, I have a role model in my life. They are still my pastors, and I want to be a learner till the end of my days, you know?
So you've been a youth leader for many years.
Yeah.
You're still young.
Thank you.
We live in a world that is changing a lot, the world around us, the next generations. Where are we now? Gen Z, right? Can you help us a little bit? Because pastors talk among each other, things are changing, and leadership style should change. The way you lead people and the way you invite them at the table. And some older pastors can feel insecure in how do I lead the next generations? I sometimes don't understand them. All those questions. You just came out from the role of a youth pastor, and you, by the way, you built a big youth movement in Germany, by the way. So can you help us a little bit here? You understand the question, eh?
Yes.
Leading the next generations well.
So just for understanding, I used to be the youth pastor, but then I was the campus pastor of the main campus. And between that, I also planted the campus in Frankfurt. But then the transition came. But still, the guy who's in charge now for our youth, he is my brother. We are really close friends to each other. So we are still leading together, you know. So, but the thing is, I would say, it helps a lot when your youth ministry and what you're doing is connected also to your own story. So when I came out of seminary and I started to be a trainee at our church, and I did an internship and all the stuff, you know. So my backstory was that my best friends used to be drug dealers, and where they used to be imprisoned and stuff like that, you know. And I really had a heartbreaking moment for people like that, because it's my story, where I'm coming from. So I was always thinking, how do I get these people from Frankfurt, from the streets, you know, how do I get them into church? So we started this whole thing called The Basement, and it used to look from the outside a club, you know. So today everyone is doing something like that, similar, you know. So, and I think what we did back then, I don't know if it works today. So we have to look every time again, even when leadership is changing, we have to look, okay, what's going on right now, also with the young people. So I'm a millennial, so I have to rethink everything what we did till now. And I have these conversations also with our youth leaders. So the thing is the young generation right now, they are totally in this whole social media thing, I would say and it's really interesting, because when you think about that, you know, we are in a season where so many people have mental health issues and stuff like that, but also on the other side, the problem is that they are living in this whole social media feed, you know. And I really find it interesting that it's called feed. Because you have to ask yourself, what are you feeding your heart with? Or isn't it like that? You know, so I would say at so many moments and so many points, you know, this young generation is feeding themselves with so much, I would say, toxic stuff. And they are starting like to live that out like in their personal life, also in their friendships, so that they don't know any like real relationship anymore, like really authentic relationships, like really like intense relationships where people are caring for each other. So I'm like now in a conversation with my youth pastor where he's like, you know what, all the things like with big events and everything, it's nice, but I don't think that that's what they want anymore. They want authenticity. They need like real relationships. They need like people around them who really care for them. And that changed a lot of my thinking, because like from my point of view, like as a millennial, I really had to understand that, you know. But he was like urging me. He was like, Antonio, even like we are best friends like for so many years. I'm urging you at that point like to rethink how we did the basement till now, and maybe we have to change it for the future. And that was a breaking, like a heartbreaking moment for me too, because it was my baby.
Yeah. You put a lot of effort and
Totally. But I'm not owning the people. God is owning the people, you know? It's that's not my people, so I want to give them the best, you know? That's what I had to understand. It's sometimes a painful moment, you know. I think like if we really want the best for the people, and that's what I think with Ruben, I just said this conversation, that the best thing that God can give us, it's not things, it's not skills, it's always people, and we have to care really well for them.
So you're in a transition a little bit with the basement, I hear. What are you changing? Now we all want to know. What are you changing?
I cannot tell anything because.
Oh, you can.
Because the people don't know yet. But yeah, but some of the things, will change. I mean, like, we changed a lot, like of how it looked like from the outside, because it when I was leading it, like it was a lot of like it looked like really clubby and everything, you know. That's how we did the worship and everything, you know. But now we see that the young people need more like really deep worship times. You know what I mean? Like it's not just about how loud something is; it's how like how deep. If you have like deep like moments of intimacy, you know, like with
in
Jesus.
In the worship.
Yes. Like stuff like that. But right, I cannot tell anything, everything, you know.
No, I understand, in some steps. But we do want to hear a little bit more about deep worship. Do you mean like deep? Bethel type?
I don't know if it's Bethel.
Jesus but, image type. What do you mean?
So why
does that help the young people?
Yeah.
What are we going? What helps them?
Yes.
If you talk about deep worship, what do you mean, and why does that help?
Yeah. So I would say like we came from this whole like Planet Boom, you know Planet Boom, like really no, and also Hillsong and everything. And I love Hillsong, you know. Don't get me wrong, you know. I'm totally in it. You know, I'm looking back to all the Shout to the Lord, you know, this Darlene Shesh thing. So that's where I'm coming from. So, but yeah, we tried everything like. To make it like really hard, like, and don't get me wrong at this point, but that it looks a little bit like it's like this whole like how you call it, I would say like it's clubby, you know, it's like it's like a concert, that's what I want to say, you know, that's where we came from. But then I realized when I was standing in the back, I realized that so many of the young people are just like that. They are just observing, they're just looking around, you know, and we don't get them anymore, like with this whole like much lights and everything, you know. So but then when we start like to put more effort in prayer times, you know, or like having like moments of where people can be like by themselves, like with God, you know, and having this moments of like, okay, you just can't kneel down in front of God and come back to the altar, you know, and all this stuff, you know, we experience that. There's a longing after that, you know, that so many hearts are like longing after being around just the presence of God, you know. But I cannot explain that, because I cannot put God into a box and say, okay, do it like that, like every day or every month or whatever. So it's every time something else, you know.
That's true.
And maybe sometimes it's Bethel, and maybe sometimes like it's back Planet Boom, but you have to see, okay, to sense it, you know, what's going on right now. Jesus, what do you want to do right
and
now?
What helps them the best to connect with God.
Totally.
So that's the personal relationship with God. You try to help them, making them aware of God's presence.
Yeah.
The presence of the Holy Spirit, that he can give peace, and, you know, above understanding in all the turbulent world that we live in. So I think, do you agree you have this? You're helping them connect with Jesus again, and also building real friendships.
Yeah.
We all know there's you have a lot of friends on your telephone, but that's not real. How can we encourage that? You can say, well, yeah, connect groups, but I think you and I know, well, that's not the whole answer anymore, connect groups. But how can we help them, the younger generation, build the real friendships again?
Yeah. I would say, like, as leaders, we have to be the role models. So what my wife and I try to do, like, I would say, like, every Sunday, after church, we are opening, like, our house, we are opening, like, our home, and invite, like, people, you know? And also, like, people who are not just, like, they are part of the team. They are also people who are part of the team, but they are also, like, people who, like, random people. Like, we don't have, like, a really tight connection to them.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
To show them, like, how it means, like, to be part of a family. So I'm coming out of a broken family. I grew up without a father. So, and I think, like, there are so many, like, young people out there who, like, are growing up like the same, you know. They don't have a really good relationship to their father, to their mother, whatever, you know, or maybe they didn't grow up at all, like, with family, you know. Yeah. And we try to show them what it means to be, like, a healthy environment. You know.
Wow.
So, and I believe, like, if we implement this as a role model, like, to our leaders and to people around them, you know, we will hear stories more and more that they start to do exactly the same.
Yeah.
So we also, like, started, like, at Christmas, on Christmas time, to have, like, people around us who have, like, who are healthy and everything, but they don't have, like, family around them, so that they can experience what it means to be, like, in a family environment. And I would say, like, that's one of the, in Germany, I would say that's one of the big keys. And also, like, to get back to this worship scene, you know, to create an environment where, because everything around us is so loud right now, you know, and you don't have, like, moments of peace anymore, like, to create, like, peace and moments, like, where I'm just asking, tell me, how are you? Like, for real. Okay, tell me what's going on in your lives. And on the other side, like, to be, like, and I think, like, on this point, like, everyone has to decide by themselves, but to get to a point where we also are showing, like, our loss or our pain, you know, where we are, like, authentic.
Yeah,
you know, it's
not
just about, like, tell me what's going on in your life. I want to tell you what's going on in my life.
Two ways. If you look at the young people, millennials and under, there's more and more people are single, also in the youth and the older youth, like. I mean, you're not single and you're 13, that's normal, but I'm a bit older, above, I don't know, above something, 22 or 25, or I don't know. But, in some cities, maybe the majority is single. What do, I know it's a big question again, but we're talking about reaching people, younger people. Yeah. Anything we can do to help them in their situation? Do you do something for them, or?
Not too much, but we should. Like,
it's an honest question, eh?
Yeah. I would say also here, like, lead by example. But on the other way, I mean, like, I want for my kids, like, to get in good relationships, you know? So what I'm praying right now, and even if my kids are, like really small, and that's what I'm telling our church, is that from the beginning on, when they were born, I'm praying, like, every day for them, like, to have that they will have a partner who is loving God, but most of all, who are not listening, like, to the voices around them, but they are listening to what God says about them, you know? So that's what I can do. I would say, like, it's on the one side, it's like a supernatural thing. On the other side, do fun stuff, like, do, like, summer festivals or whatever, you know, where they are coming together and where they get to know each other. Like, and also, like, with boundaries and everything, but like, we have to create a place also as a church. We have to create a place where people can get together, you know, and can find each other. Totally.
Yeah.
Bring them together with other churches, you know, and other youth groups. I don't know. Stuff like that.
Can we zoom in a little bit on another subject? Leadership is not always easy. There is disappointments in leadership sometimes. Disappointment in how things go, or people or decisions. I don't know if you want to, but can you give an example of something that really surprised you And also especially the lessons learned. In other words, a few more moments that we have, a bit more on how to deal with disappointments and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. I will share a story. I think I never shared it on a platform till now. I want to be like really real with you. So when I started out as a youth pastor, I started after the seminary, I started our church with an internship, and then to be a youth pastor. There was another leader at our church who treated me like really bad, but I didn't know it till it came out. So he was my mentor. I shared a lot with him, and everything what I shared with him, he spoke about it in other occasions. Mm. He tried in my back to kick me out. I would say maybe it had something to do with envy. I don't know till today. He talked really bad about me, also in with my senior, when he had conversations with my senior pastor, he talked really bad about me. And in the front, when we were sitting together, I thought he's my friend, but he wasn't. Mm. So we were leading together. He took me aside, but then when I wasn't in the room, he started talking bad about me. Mm. So when I started to get more and more self-confident in what I was doing at the church, because I got to know people and everything, and because I was new, I just came from the seminary, we had different occasions where he was in front of other leaders, he started to yelling at me and making me really feeling really stupid, So so many things happened, but you are you read about stuff like that, but you never think that you will experience something like that. And I was totally new in this whole thing, like being a pastor or something like that. I just came out of seminary. So, and I remember that I was kneeling down in front of God, and I cried out to God, I was God, what did I do wrong, how can I change this whole thing, And I didn't get directly the answer or something like that. I was okay, I want to put my life in obedience under you, and you said that that's the right place to be, so I will stay here till you say that I'm leaving. But still, it hurt me so much, And I didn't want to offend him, so I didn't want to yell back. So I was I tried to be really quiet, So at one point, it escalated, it got really bad, And we had a conversation also with the board and everything, And I didn't know what I do wrong, I asked for forgiveness, to this guy. And I said, man, I tell what you did. I knelt down in front of him and I asked for forgiveness, and I was can I do something in a different way, I would say a month after that, I was again really done. I was at a point where I was okay, I'm leaving the church. So I called my mentor. He was not part of the church, he was from my seminary, he was also my coach, and I was what, I'm done. That's maybe that's not the thing I want to do anymore. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want, I was at a point where I wanted to quit. So, and he said something to me. He was like, no, you won't quit. Don't forget where God brought you out, because he brought you out once, so he will do it again. So he has the last word on everything what's happening here. But still, you have all these emotions and you have all these fights within you, So I was like, okay, good. I'm not doing anything, And again, a month after that, everything came out. Everything what he did, he didn't do it just with me, he also did it with other people. And he also started to hack emails and stuff like that to get the informations about people to manipulate them. I didn't know that, So everything came out. So when this guy left, he left with telling all the people, how stupid I am and all the stuff, and that everything will break down, And also when he was out of church, he talked so bad about me, about our church, about our leadership and everything, because at one point you are I hope it's coming to an end, but month after month you are hearing all this stuff, But I had to make a decision in my heart to say, you know what, I'm not listening anymore to the voices around me. I have to listen to God, because God placed me in this place. It was not this guy.
Yeah.
Jesus said, we'll have the last word. Yeah. So, and out of that, like, I would say, like, a half year after that, so our youth group, like, exploded. So, and I would say, like, that was a move of God. I couldn't do that. That was just God. But you know what? Sometimes, like, leadership is painful, you know? And I would say, if you and I, if we want to grow, sometimes we need pain. You know, that's,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I don't mean it like in a masochist like way, you know, but I mean it like, if you are going to the gym and you want your muscles like to grow, you have to put pain on it, you know, that's the thing. And I think like, sometimes the masterclass of God, and I don't say that He is giving the pain, but sometimes the masterclass of God for us is to be like a round of pain, but He is bringing us out of it.
Yeah. It's true, He uses it, and He He wants to build our strength. Storms can be like a test.
Yeah.
And Goliath, we talked about it today. Maybe God sent Goliath to in the life of David, but Goliath was the door towards his destiny as a king.
Yeah.
From shepherd boy to a king, he had to face a storm or an enemy. And I think,
and not just for David, also like for his people.
Yeah.
Because afterwards, like all these people, like, you know,
that's right.
They killed like all the Philistines. Yeah.
So sometimes people would probably say, look at you, and you know, you are young and successful, you're a great church, the church is growing fast, your youth group is growing fast. And some people will probably say, well, I want to do the same as you do.
Yeah.
And you and I think, are you going to pay the same price as I did? So, you know, T.D. Jakes, he talks about the toll bridge. If you want to get to the other side, you have to pay the toll. You're paying the price. If somebody is in trouble, nobody wants to talk to you. If you are in pain, nobody wants to talk to you. That's the beginning of the toll bridge, where you pay the price to get on the other side.
Yeah.
At the other side, everyone wants to talk to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the other side, they want to have you in a leadership talks. Because you paid the toll at the beginning of the toll bridge. And I really believe this is a leadership conference. And I think sometimes we've been a little bit naive. And oh, what is happening now? You know, but the enemy has his schemes, and the Bible says don't be aware of his schemes.
Yeah.
So 3 minutes left. Now we go uphill.
Yeah, come on.
At the other side of the bridge we are now. So what would you, you're a young pastor, just stepped into this new role.
Yeah.
There's many listening, watching, and here in the room. What do you want to say to those that are praying about a step up in leadership, or maybe God put on a few people here a burden in their heart, a dream to become a pastor one day? The few minutes we've left, what would you say to them?
A good question. I would say, like, all of us, we really need good relationships to healthy people. So I don't want to build church with a team, just with staff. I really want to build church with family. So, and that's what we try to do. Like, my senior pastor was really good in asking me, like, years before he transitioned to me, what people do you want to have in your team? What people should I hire? And today, I can say I'm in a position where I'm leading the church with my best friends, like with family. They are my brothers and my sisters. You know, we are celebrating like Christmas together. We are celebrating Easter together. We are going on vacations together. It's family, you know. And also like that, you know, I would say, in my opinion, it's a heavenly principle. Also for me, like coming out of a broken family, that Jesus gave me a new family. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So that I can live the dream just because of the team, just because of my family, you know? So, and I would say, like, also on the other side, like for my kids, like they are experiencing like what it means like to be part, not just of a team, not just of a staff, not just doing church as a job. No, we we are celebrating family like every Sunday, you know. Mm-hmm. And then there are people are coming over, and they always they are asking, who's coming today? Who's coming today? Who's coming today? And they know like all of them. So my smallest daughter, her name is Zoe. So, and I have Linus here. Linus is my our worship pastor, and now he's also a campus pastor. So, and his wife, her name is also Zoe. So my Zoe is all the time, she's saying, my friend Linus is coming, because we always are talking about Linus and Zoe. And she thinks that she is meant, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So, and you know, and I want her like to grow up like with role models like him, with role models like other people in our life. Yeah. Where they are looking up and they are like, you know what, I really see what you are doing. You know, I really see what God doing through your life. And this summertime, that's my last story. In this summer, we were here in the Netherlands in our vacation. My son came up to me, he's 10. And he was like, you know what, Daddy, I really like what you are doing.
Oh.
I want to do the same. So I don't want to put pressure on him. I'm like, man, that's awesome, you know. But on the other side, I was like, man, he loves what I'm doing because he sees all the people around me, you know.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, that's
fantastic.
That's the thing.
Thank you, Antonio. Antonio Weil from Germany. Thank you for being with us here in The Hague at Leadership Conference. Thank you for watching or listening. Ik ga even naar het Nederlands, maar de volgende spreker in mijn volgende episode gaat ook weer in het Engels. Dan hebben we pastor Leo Bieger. Hij overziet 80 kerken in Zwitserland, Duitsland, maar zelfs in Cambodja, in Azië, in Israël. Dus van alles en nog wat. En een man met heel veel leiderschap, zoals je begrijpt, als je zoveel kerken onder je hebt. Dat is dus over 4 weken. Elke vierde dinsdag van de maand. Leadership Talks, ik zou zeggen heel veel zegen en tot de volgende keer.